Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Zipping along, John.
Absolutely. It's always that way. And we are very fortunate to have with us today Marcus O'Toole from the elder law firm of Genza Kona. And actually, Marcus, what I'd like to go back to is, one, I know you have a wonderful website that we were talking about at the break. So there's also a segment, Compassionate Discussion. But let's start with your phone number. If somebody wants to talk to you and make an appointment to reach out to you, what's your phone number?
Sure. Our phone number is 631-390-5000. Again, 631-390-5000. And our website is genzerlaw.com, G-E-N-S-E-R-L-A-W.com.
Now, I did go on to your website in preparation for the show, and I might mention that there are several things on there that are generic in nature. They're not sales pitches by your firm about having a compassionate conversation with somebody who should have help. And there was also a guidebook that covered quite a bit of detail about estate planning and the things you ought to know about. So my 2 cents worth is, unless you don't want to give those away, those are good documents to look at.
Of course.
So what your website would be what then? What's your website?
It's genzerlaw.com. Again, G-E-N-S-E-R-L-A-W.com. We have a free guidebook, which as Otto said, talks about different areas of estate planning. We have a number of short videos for people explaining different areas of estate planning by me and some of the other attorney here. Is a little bit of a estate planning academy, a real short snippets. There's a lot of good things on the website. You can really, if you're the type that wants to research on your own, and a lot of seniors are, they like to know, they like to really know what's going on. There's a lot of things to learn about on there, and it's free. And then if you wanted to talk about more in detail, you could always give me a call.
You also have a wonderful webinar series on occasion, because I mean, I'm on the your newsletter or whatever it is that comes out, but tremendous seminars, whether it's on Medicaid or some sort of financial planning or all different kind of planning concepts.
Right. I mean, with the pandemic, we switched from, I mean, we're mostly doing seminars in person in libraries, in our conference room, but I have been itching for webinars. And so for the past few months, we've been doing live webinars, usually between 3 and 6 a month on Tuesdays or Thursdays. So if you contact us, we could put you on the emailing list. If you give us again a call at 631-390-5000. And then you can know when the upcoming webinars on various topics, whether again, it's estate planning, Medicaid, estate administration, we run the gamut with the different programs, and they're usually in the morning. They run about 45 minutes and pretty good content. You can ask questions and things like that.
And I think the one thing that's wonderful about these webinars is that if a person is just starting to shop around, okay, one, you're getting wonderful information, and then you can get a sense for the people who are conducting the webinar, saying, oh, that's a personality I don't think I would like, even though you're cutting it a little short, but they really are. They're impressive. And I said, I'm by no means pushing Marcus, but I've done enough stuff with Marcus that I understand, he is, we got a compassionate discussion going on, but Marcus himself is a compassionate person. So when he has talked with clients of ours, we've never gotten anything but compliments, which is, that's what I want. I'm looking, that's my personality. You got to be caring. And we know he has the knowledge, but you have to be caring. Just like my co-host, Otto. Right, Otto?
True. it's either you got it or you don't got it.
You're 100% right there. Going back to planning. Okay. And, I do try to push adult children in a nice way to talk to their parents, because they'll come to me and you know, we, and Marcus is included in that, wind up picking up pieces sometimes that are a disaster because nobody shared anything. I mean, we just recently had one where the spouse didn't even know what was going on. I mean, it's, you know, like, talk about picking up pieces. And then you keep finding things, which is nobody's fault. That's personalities, and we have to deal with personalities always. But it goes back to Marcus saying in the beginning, there's certain things that I think, and I don't, you couldn't, because you're talking to your friends. And you actually probably the most important person on this call this morning, in that, what do you feel would be the best thing to get somebody to Marcus?
I think that there are some people that tend to procrastinate. First of all, they always push things off till mañana. And then there are other people that kind of look at it that they're really not in the affluent category. They don't have enough assets to worry about it. And they may be shocked to find that their assets are easily $1 million, all right? Which in this day and age, if you have a house and you have an IRA, there's a lot of millionaires around, all right? Now, some law firms may not want to cater to that kind of thing. You know, you may be looking for people only who have large amounts of assets. So I think that some people maybe minimize their position economically, if you will, in society, and therefore don't think they need anything, yet they can have. I think one of the biggest goals of this whole thing is to prevent your family from being busted apart when you're gone. I think one of the legacies that most people would like is to have a family that cares about each other, and that's together, and that you didn't contribute to the breakup when you're gone. So that's really a non-financial factor in doing all these things, in my opinion. Going back to the original point, I think one of the things that comes out of my conversations are, well, I'm not going to worry about it. I'll just, you know, I'm going to spend it and not worry about my kids, or, you know, blah, blah. So I think the bottom line there is that it's, I don't think I have enough assets to worry about it as far as a will goes. Now, healthcare proxy, you know, when you're laying there with tubes and wires, and there's nobody who can say, then that's a different story. It has nothing to do with money, you know?
Right,
so
right.
I think people have to look at this thing from, yeah, okay, maybe I'm not the richest guy in town, but I do have some assets which I'd like to protect. And then I do have me who I'd like to protect from going through misery if I get into that stage. And you can only have that if you have somebody who's going to be your keeper, if you will.
Right, I agree. Actually, Marcus, following up on what Otto's speaking about, let's go into some Medicaid planning, because yeah, you have a house that's worth $1 million and you don't have a mortgage, and you have an IRA of a couple of $100,000 because you worked all your life. But then you get sick, you know, terribly sick, and you need home care and everything else. Well, the IRA can go quickly, or your 401k, whatever. Well, it's an IRA at that point, can go quickly. And what you thought was being left to your children now has a lien on it, I believe, because if you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, the state wants their money.
Right. Right. I mean, most families, middle-class families, your average family on Long Island, you know, their house is their single largest asset, right? Maybe they bought it 40, 50 years ago, and it's grown substantially in value over time. And it becomes, whether it's 400,000 or 300,000 or 800,000, it can be their single largest asset. And, you know, maybe they don't have a lot of cash and think, okay, you know, it's my home, nobody can do anything. Well, if you got sick and you needed some sort of long-term care, whether that's home care or a nursing home, if you don't protect the house, there could be a lien put on it. It could be forced to be sold at some point. It could really impact your ability to, one, have your care paid for, and two, pass it along to your children, your heirs, whoever you wanted to pass it along to. So I think that, you know, focusing on protecting the home is an important part of a senior's plan, you know, for Medicaid.
And now, I know just recently, Go ahead, Otto. I'm sorry, you go.
No,
Otto.
Go ahead, you go. Yeah.
Oh, I know just recently, I think it's called Community Medicaid. That was, you could get that immediately, but now it's a 2-year look back or a 2.5-year look back.
Yeah, so that changed recently. So, you know, when you're applying for Medicaid, if you want to protect your home or protect your assets, you would have to get it out of your name, right? So someone applying for Medicaid needs to have less than about $15,000 in their name officially. So if in the past, if you just needed home care, you know, have a home care aide to, you know, come by and take care of you and you know, whether it's 8 hours a day or a live-in, you'd want to try to get some benefits for that. And you would just, okay, I'm going to create a trust, put my house and put some cash into it, and I'd be eligible the next month. That's great. Well, starting October 1st, anything you transfer out of your name has a 2.5-year look back period. So you would be ineligible for 2.5 years, with one exception that they're delaying the implementation if you actually file your application before April 1st. So that because of the ongoing pandemic and the state of emergency, they've delayed that part. But what it means in the law.
I don't get what that means. So if you have till April 1st now?
So for anybody that files their application by April 1st, there's no look back period on home care transfers. Oh. But if you file after April 1st, then anything you've transferred after October 1st is counted against you for 2.5 years. Unfortunately, they made it a little complicated. Like many other things, the pandemic has complicated the implementation of the new rule, but it really emphasizes even more to plan in advance so that you can protect your home and still get these benefits.
Is that still called Community Medicaid? Is it still called Community Medicaid?
Yeah, it's referred, you know, people call it Community Medicaid, Home Care Medicaid. It basically, in the context of seniors, it means, you know, layman, the same thing, where you're getting a home care aide to come to your house and take care of it, you know, between 4 and 24 hours a day to help you with your, you know, I call it activities of daily living. So, you know, grooming and toileting and taking medications and cooking and what have you.
Now, in reference to that, community or home care, whatever you want to call it, gifts go into that also, right? So if a person had just say $100,000 and they didn't do any plan, you know what? We're going to actually go into a break first, which I think I'll ask a question and then you'll answer it when we come back. I want to know if gifts will be counted against the person who needs the aid. So you can think about that, but we do have to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back with the answer from Marcus O'Toole.